You're listening to the Texas Standard. As a Texan, you know the drill, don't you? You get to the lowest floor of the building you're in, get away from the windows, maybe go to a bathroom or a closet or a basement or a cellar if you have one. Get as low to the ground as you can, cover yourself with your hands, and pray. For a lot of Texans, what to do during a tornado warning can be a bit like second nature, because when you live in Tornado Alley, well, you know all too well how deadly and destructive those twisters can be. But for many weather professionals and gurus alike, Tornado Alley is ground zero for researching some of the nation's deadliest natural disasters and, for better and for worse, a ticket to the greatest thrill ride on earth. In author Brantley Hargrove's debut book, The Man Who Caught the Storm, he highlights the life of one legendary tornado chaser who revolutionized the way we think of twisters. Brantley Hargrove joins us now from his home in Dallas. Welcome to the Texas Standard.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Samaras was killed doing the work that he really loved, and he had a major impact on the world of meteorology. What did you discover about what was happening on the days leading up to his death?
And so whenever I heard about Tim Samaras, I had to know more about this guy, what he was trying to accomplish, why he got so close that day. Tornadoes weren't even his primary focus. That was kind of one thing that interested me. His research organization was kind of at loose ends at that point. He'd been on the Discovery Channel's Storm Chasers, and that show had gotten canceled, and there went a lot of his funding. Mm-hmm. So at the time, he was actually pursuing his secondary love, which was lightning. He was a part of this big federally funded DARPA research program that was trying to unravel some fundamental mysteries about lightning and other electromagnetic phenomena. And so he was out there with this big vehicle that he had designed that had all sorts of incredibly high-speed camera equipment on there, including one that weighed about a ton and could shoot a million frames per second. So he was out there trying to shoot lightning. And to shoot lightning, you need to be very far from the storm. But on May 31st, 2013, all the indicators were pointing towards something explosive. And he simply couldn't resist.
Say more about couldn't resist, because there is that aspect of it that makes Tim Samaras' life and tragic death so, I think, fascinating. And it's something that you sort of go into in depth here. What was that thing that he couldn't resist?
Well, tornadoes. I mean, he'd had this love affair, this obsession with tornadoes for many years now. I mean, really ever since he was a child. And, he had planned for such an eventuality. He simply could not resist going out for a storm chase, especially on a day that seemed to be pointing towards something historic.
When you say it was the tornado that was what he couldn't resist, it almost seems like it's the chase too. That it's this flirtation with the storm somehow.
Well, yeah, Tim was he was driven both by curiosity, I think. And by the extreme excitement of storm chasing. I mean, I can attest, I've been storm chasing. It is an adrenaline-pumping experience. And once you've seen one, you're never quite the same. But I also think he believed that he could continue to unravel some mysteries of tornadoes. And so when he went out chasing, he wasn't just out there for the thrill. He was out there to gather data. And so that day, whenever he went out chasing, he had in the trunk of that little Cobalt three steel probes that he had devised that could be placed into the path of a violent tornado, get run over by one, survive, and not only survive, but return on the other side with priceless atmospheric data.
If you look at the contributions that Tim Samaras made over the years to meteorology and that sort of thing, what would you have to tell folks?
Well, one of the things that kind of shocked me about this story is, we're probing the outer edges of the solar system right now, but prior to Tim coming onto the scene at the turn of the 21st century, we had absolutely no data whatsoever from the ground level at the core of a tornado. I mean, we just had nothing. It was a blank space. And Tim filled that in 2003. He actually gave us from a highly calibrated, very dependable instrument for the first time ever, pressure measurements, temperature, humidity, these really fundamental data points that we didn't even have. And so, that's been useful for engineers. It's been useful for just scientists who use computers to study, numerical models of tornadoes, kind of try to figure out how they're built and how they evolve and how they unravel. So, Tim made some pretty some pretty huge contributions in that realm. And also, I mean, just more intangibly showing the field that, hey, this could be done. I mean, you know, atmospheric science has been trying for a lot of years to get this kind of data, and they'd largely given up by the time Tim came on the scene.
You know, I want to ask this respectfully because I know how important gathering data was, but how much of it was data and how much of it was sort of the thrill of the chase, if you know what I mean?
I mean, that's a good question. That's a reasonable question. Look, I think the data and Tim's passion, his desire to be in the presence of extreme storms, you know, I think they were inextricable. I think he was out there because it's what he loved to do. I think he was also trying to get data. And I think his mission made his passion mean something. It wasn't just about enjoyment. You know, there was a greater purpose there. You know, is it worth a life? That's a really tough question. And frankly, I don't know the answer to it. You know, I'd certainly say Tim wouldn't think it was worth his life. And I know he certainly wouldn't have thought that it was worth his son's life. You know, if he had understood that day the perils that he was courting, he would never have put himself in that position, certainly not with Paul in the car.
But if anyone could understand it, who if not Tim?
Sure. Well, you know, I think that's kind of one of those fundamental human blindnesses that we have. We never see how close to danger we're getting. You know, I mean, whether you're scaling a mountain without a rope, or chasing a tornado and trying to get in front of it to deploy an instrument probe, it's hard to see the dangers you're courting. And I mean, you got to think just in terms of context. I mean, it's easy to, you know, look back with hindsight bias, you know, the dangers he was drawing nearer and nearer to. But no chaser had ever been killed by a tornado before Tim, his son Paul, and Carl Jung, his longtime chase buddy and a talented meteorologist in his own right.
Maybe this is, in a sense, bigger than tornadoes and storms. We're talking about something more like man versus nature, more like Mount Everest.
Oh, sure. That's always something I've thought about this story. There's a fundamental man versus nature. You know, sort of humans pushing themselves, you know, to the boundaries of what we think is safe and what we should do, and challenging nature. You know, the most violent manifestations of nature. And Tim had done that for a lot of years and had always come away without a scratch, had always been able to find that seam and to make his escape. And this was the one storm that unfortunately showed that there are things about the sky that we can't possibly understand in real time. And he paid the ultimate price for it.
It's a remarkable story and a remarkable bit of storytelling by native Texan Brantley Hargrove. He lives in Dallas these days, and he's author of the book, The Man Who Caught the Storm, The Life of Legendary Tornado Chaser Tim Samaras. Thanks so much for taking a few minutes out to talk with us on the Texas Standard. We appreciate it.
It was my pleasure.